everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Every week we discuss topics related to dogs, and sometimes we talk to experts about cats, too. If you're a first-time listener and you have a special interest in wanting to know more about dogs, their behaviors, their health issues, and what makes them tick, I hope you'll decide to listen each week right here on WNJC 1360 AM every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. If you want to hear previous shows that we've done during this past year, please go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show. You'll see a page full of links, which are the podcasts for each of my programs that we've done so far. If you see a subject that interests you, just click on it, sit back, and relax for about 30 minutes. I guarantee that you'll love what you hear. My guest today is Nanette Morgan, a certified professional dog trainer from Santa Clara County, California. She's a graduate from the Marin Humane Society's Canine Consultant and Instructors Academy, and she holds degrees in education and foreign languages. She's an active member of the Association of Pet Dog Trainers, the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, and she's the editor of the Training Obedience column for the International Siberian Husky Club. Nanette wrote an important and informative handout about how one can prevent being attacked by an aggressive dog, and we felt it would be a great idea to share that information that she has in her handout with you this morning. Whether or not you live with dogs, and even if you have no interest in these animals per se, it's important that you listen closely today to learn how to stay safe if, by chance, you are confronted by a dog that may want to go on the attack. Before we talk to Nanette, I'd like to tell you about what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age, and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Nanette. Welcome to the doghouse today.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for joining us. What inspired you to write such a detailed handout on preventing a dog attack?
Well, a non-dog trainer colleague of mine was just walking down the street from work, minding her own business, and there was a small dog on a leash in front of a house on the house's property, and she was on the sidewalk just going to her car, and it was being held by a lady, and the dog broke loose, unprovoked, attacked her, grabbed hold of her leg,
okay,
caused a severe wound, and this was a small dog, mind you.
Really?
Not a big one. I ended up taking her to urgent care, and she lost 2 days of work. The injury, the bite, went all the way to her muscle.
Oh, my goodness. From a little dog?
And this was a small dog.
Wow.
Still had its leash on, but it broke loose from the lady's hands, right, attacked her. So she's okay and everything, and she didn't need stitches. But, of course, she did all the right things. She stayed still, even though she's not a dog person. She remained calm. She got all the information she could from the lady, like phone number, address, and that sort of thing. So she was able to give that to the doctor when we took her to urgent care, which, you know, hopefully the police followed up on this. And ironically, the dog had just been adopted from a shelter, or we don't know which one, but pretty scary. And she had been bitten as a 5-year-old in the face. So
oh my
she's not really afraid of dogs, but this wasn't like, you know, a cool thing to happen.
No, not at all.
So, and there's a lot of children in the neighborhood, and we have a school there. And I was concerned that, you know, it's another emergency waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what inspired me.
This is going to be very, very, very helpful, not just to my listeners, but to me, too, because I'm anxious to find out what you've come up with here. What clues could someone see or hear that might alert them that a dog could become violent?
Okay, other than this situation where it really was out of the blue, you know, obviously the new owners didn't know much about the dog. I'd say situations where, you know, a dog might be chained up on a property, which, although it's illegal, people still do it. The dog is highly aroused, jumping around, barking, snarling, looking like it's trying to get at you. The other thing is the other situations where you normally wouldn't want, you know, common sense, bother a dog. The dog is sleeping, so
right.
You might scare it by trying to pet it. A mom dog with her pups nursing would be another situation.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And this is, you know, or going on someone's property and there's a dog there and, you know, the dog might want to be protecting the property.
What about if somebody is taking their dog for a walk and they see another dog at a distance, but they're not really sure if that dog is friendly or not? The fact that it's loose should be an indicator, don't you agree?
Yes, I would say so normally. I live in a semi-rural area in Morgan Hill. I'm still in town, but you can walk a few blocks and you have horses and cows and things.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally the dogs aren't necessarily aggressive, but they're not on their owner's property. They wander a few doors down and then go home sort of thing.
Right.
But still, I use caution. I always tell my students to always have a plan when you're out walking your dogs. Number one, be aware of your surroundings. Avoid talking on a cell phone
while
you're walking your dog.
Yeah.
Maybe you can multitask, but, you know, it's not the best practice for your own dog because you can't be aware of everything that's going on, or if, you know, your dog sees Mr. Squirrel in the tree, he might drag you over to it.
Mm-hmm.
I also suggest that they carry citronella spray, which you can get in any store online. It's made by Premier, and it's called Direct Stop.
Okay.
Now it's called Spray Shield. Okay. And I also, though, while I don't like people talking on the phone while they're walking their dogs, I always suggest that they carry a cell phone for an emergency.
Right.
And I go a step further and have the police department phone number.
Okay. You mentioned citronella spray. I think most people think that they need to be walking around with mace or pepper spray. Do you agree with that?
I don't think you need to, because, one, you need to have a license for that in most states.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be trained in it. Citronella spray is fairly harmless compared to the other two.
Okay.
And it'll just, you can use it on people too. That was one of the main reasons I started carrying it, because I had some weirdo following me for a while. You can spray it at someone or, you know, a dog's face, and it'll surprise them momentarily so you can get out of the situation.
Okay.
But like you're saying, the best thing is to not get in the situation in the first place. So whenever I see a loose dog and I see it ahead of time, I take my dogs away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run, because you don't want to run, because that's going to cause the other dog to chase you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can, I do a U-turn and get out of Dodge. If the dog comes upon you suddenly and you're with your dogs, a few things you can do is you can not really scream at the dog, but say, hey, go home. You know, and sometimes dogs will go away when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have treats on you, like most of us do, you can throw some treats behind the dog, throwing it low, avoiding raising your hand, which could look aggressive to the dog.
Right. That's a good one.
Or sometimes I carry an old tennis ball with me,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we'll throw that, and sometimes the dogs will go for it, and then you can get away.
Have you had actual experience with a loose dog like that, where you actually have either used a spray or used treats or thrown a ball? And
oh, yeah, many times.
And so you've had good success then doing that?
I did. Now, again, it depends on the dog. If the dog isn't well-trained, I ran into this not too long ago, the dog might still follow you, but you and I can tell if the dog is going to be, you know, a problem. But the concern always is if you're walking your dog or dogs, in my case, you don't want to get into a melee with a fight or something.
No, absolutely not. In your handout, you state that a dog has a spatial bubble. What do you mean by that?
Okay, this goes into proximity and proxemics. People have a bubble around themselves too, a personal space where they feel comfortable. People, it's about 12 inches, depending on your culture. Different cultures have a little bit of different thoughts on that or feelings. But, you know, think of a good analogy is like you're in the elevator, and you're okay with people coming up to about 12 inches. But as soon as more people come on, everyone's kind of jockeying around to keep their own little bubble, right, and not have it intruded upon.
Right.
So it's the same thing with dogs, except that theirs is at least 6 to 8 feet. We have to remember that not only are dogs predatory, but they're also prey of other creatures. Going into less than 6 or 8 feet, that's aggressive to a dog, or, you know, it's at least threatening.
Okay.
So that would be, you know, people where they might get into trouble getting bit, especially children, is they walk straight up to a dog, which is in dog culture isn't kosher for them.
Right.
You know, they like things approach them from the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing we do is we tend to loom over them and pat them on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's considered threatening to them.
Right.
So those kind of things, when you're already within the, you know, inside of their personal bubble, it's they're going to probably start growling if they don't know you, saying, hey, get out of my space.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just as we would push someone away if they got into our 12 inches.
Okay. So can we use our own body language to diffuse this situation, or should we depend on learning about their body language to better diffuse the situation?
Well, I think it'd be good to have both,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I include in my handout a link to the ASPCA, which has a wonderful handout. It's under pet care and then under kids and pets, and it's called Canine Body Language. It's a PDF that you can download, and it shows all the different facial and body language that dogs show in several situations, like one where they're frightened,
right.
One where they're aggressive, one where they're friendly, and it helps to see that. So I think it's helpful if people could learn that, but not everyone's going to go to that trouble. So some of the common sense things, which I think is what you're getting at, is if you're not a dog person, I'll address that first. You want to avoid going up to a strange dog, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if the dog's the friendliest dog in the world. If it's with an owner, if it looks friendly, you want to ask the owner if you can pet the dog first. And if they say yes, the best thing to do is, you know, stay out of that 6 feet bubble and just stand still sideways to the dog with your hand and a fist just by your side and let the dog approach. If the dog is comfortable to approach, you're usually okay. If the dog doesn't want to come up, then forget it, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good day to pet that dog, or, you know, the dog is fearful.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is if you're jogging or biking and you're going towards someone with dogs or a loose dog, you should stop jogging and come down to a walk. And if biking, slow down or even get off the bike and just calmly turn it around and walk away until you're out of sight of the dog, and then continue your bike ride. Because obviously if you turn and run, it's going to turn on that predatory drive in dogs. They're going to want to chase, even if it's just for fun, right? Oh, boy, it's a chase me game.
Right. What would happen? I mean, suppose your friend had been walking along and all of a sudden there were several dogs together. What, you know, I mean, dogs together can feed off of each other's excitement levels. How would you have instructed her to stay safe if she was approached by more than one dog at a time?
Well, I would tell her to stay calm. I would tell her not to look directly at the dogs, because looking directly is just as bad as sometimes as, you know, looming over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people tend to stare in the dog's eyes, which, again, is threatening to the dog. I would tell her to turn sideways, try to look at her peripheral vision to see where she's going. Don't raise her arm. Try to slowly back away, maybe calmly say, go home to the dogs. If she's carrying something like a purse or a briefcase, I would tell her to put that between her and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same thing, too, if you're out biking and a dog won't leave you alone. Put the bike between you and the dog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Suppose they're actually getting attacked. The dog is jumping on them. What is the best way to protect yourself?
Well, if you haven't been knocked down, try to protect your body parts. Put your arms across your chest with your hands underneath and try to slowly back away. Stay calm. Breathe slowly. I know that's kind of hard to do when you're in a panicky situation.
Mm-hmm.
Try to maybe get between a car or behind a car or, you know, so that you could cross the street. If the dog knocks you down, the best thing to do is to roll into a ball and protect your head and your neck with your hands and arms so that, you know, the dog doesn't go for your vulnerable spots.
Okay.
And if the dog actually latches onto you, the one thing you don't want to do is, say it's your leg like it was with my colleague,
right.
Don't want to try to shake it off because mm-hmm. her case, if she had done something like that, even though it was a small dog,
mm-hmm.
it was already into her muscle, right?
Yeah.
That would have caused extreme damage to the muscle.
Right.
So, and you don't want to, like, try to reach down. Then you're going to get another body part in the dog's target area. So if you're able to, say it's a small dog or you're near something like a tree, try to pull yourself behind a tree and you know, even though the dog's still attached. And, you know, hopefully someone's going to come out and see you and help, right, unless you're in the woods or something. Maybe try to kick the dog or, again, if you have a briefcase or a purse, try to hit it on the head to maybe redirect it to the purse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're carrying any kind of spray thing or a water bottle, you know, maybe throw the liquid in the dog's face to stun it
mm-hmm.
briefly.
Okay.
And then, you know, again, don't run. Get out of there as quick as you can, but backing up or going sideways so as not to trigger.
Okay. Have you, since you've written your handout, has anybody ever acknowledged to you that your handout has helped them?
Not yet. A lot of people like it and want to use it with their clients.
Good. Good. A lot of times we have, and this happened to me, and I'm telling you, I behaved completely inappropriately. I'm going to admit that to the world.
Well, even a dog trainer, you know, you get caught in a tight spot, and, you know, even though you tell people don't scream and that, what's the first thing
Correct.
You're going to do? Because yeah. your primal emotions kick in, don't they?
Right. We were walking along, myself, and at the time I had my border collie with me, and unbeknownst to me, a neighbor of mine was in the habit of chaining her Rottweiler to the house, and they would leave the dog there all day, and everybody would go off to work. I was walking my dog by her house, which I never have done before. I don't know what happened that day, but maybe I took a shortcut, or I decided, well, I don't hear the dog out there today. Maybe I'll just take a shortcut and walk by. Big mistake. The dog broke the chain and came after us.
Oh, no.
Yep. The interesting thing was, after I had time to reflect and all the adrenaline left my system, was that this dog was very territorial, but not with humans, with other dogs.
Oh.
So all that dog wanted was my dog. And he kept going after him. And, Nanette, I did everything that you're telling me not to do. I screamed. I kicked the dog. I punched the dog. I tried to stand between the dog and my dog to protect my dog. That dog didn't even know I was there.
Mm.
I mean, it was like, you're just a human. I'm not, I don't have any interest in hurting you. I just want this dog off my property. And so after about 5 minutes of screaming my lungs out, somebody did finally come out of the house, and they picked up this huge dog and brought it into the house. I don't know how I did this, but calm overtook me, and I brought my dog home. I didn't have that far to go. And the first thing I did was to check him to see if he was bleeding, to see if he had any injuries. And all he had on him was spit, dog spit.
You're lucky.
Both of us were extremely
lucky. The dog didn't have interest in you because, and that, as you know, but people listening might not, in that high arousal state, he could have redirected to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I at the time, in my state of complete mental, ineptness, I wouldn't have cared. I just didn't want him killing my dog. And yet I certainly knew the danger of a possible bite to myself from a strong dog like a Rottweiler. But anyway, so when I did go home, and this may be something that the listeners may want to keep in the back of their mind, after I examined him and I saw that he was okay, I took him out for a game of fetch. And so I wanted to lighten up his mood as well as my own, and he played. And I was scared that the next time I would take him for a walk and he would see another dog, that he might have you know, freaked out. And thank goodness he had no reaction to other dogs like that. I thought he was going to be afraid of them, and thankfully he did not, probably because the dog really didn't hurt him. That was a scary incident, and when I got home, I had to change my clothes because I was soaked. So you don't know even what's going on with you if you're in a state of extreme fear like that.
And I think that's good what you did with your border collie, you know, to play with him and try to change his emotion as possible.
Right. And
another thing, too, when people, you know, that don't have dogs and that, the other thing that's really useful if they have it with them, I mean, is an umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Opening, especially those quick-release umbrellas,
Opening
that up quick really shocks an animal, and it gives you some time to get away. I learned this technique at the Marin Humane Society's training academies from Trish King, because, you know, in California we have a lot of mountain lions,
And
so a lot of us are on hiking trails, and what she used to use on hiking trails up there in Marin, the real big umbrellas, like, you know, the golfers use.
Yeah.
And what she had her daughter, her teens kind of is an artist, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she had her draw on the outside of the umbrella big eyes and a mouth, like an animal.
Wow.
And so that, so big, suddenly appearing in front of a predator scares them because, you know, it impinges on their brain, too, their brain image, like, oh, my, you know?
Yeah.
That's another thing. And for dog people who do have dogs, another little tip I always try to tell people is when you're walking your dogs and you're walking up the street and you see another person walking a dog on leash, it's best to cross the street, even if your dogs are the friendliest in the world, because, again, we're going back to that where you're approaching another dog head-on.
Mm-hmm.
So that could cause a problem.
Absolutely, and if you see somebody walking a dog that's leaping and lunging, that's a real clue to get out of the way because, you know, whether the dog,
the dog might be just happy and wants to meet the other dogs, you know, they're not always aggressive or reactive, you know,
right.
But it's just better to be safe than sorry
absolutely.
In that situation.
Absolutely,
Also coming up behind people. I it's ironic, about a week after I wrote this article, there is a part in here that if you're walking a dog and you're coming up behind someone, you know, even if they don't have a dog, to give them a heads up, like, hey, you know, on your right or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people are afraid of dogs, so, you know, you got that going on, too. You don't want to inadvertently scare someone, even though you've got two fluffies, right?
Sure, absolutely.
But all of a sudden, my dogs have excellent hearing, and so do I, and it was a quiet morning. I only knew there was one lady walking behind me without a dog, and all of a sudden, we all turned around, and about 2 feet behind me was a teen walking this big black dog, like, right behind me, and we're in the middle of the street.
Oh,
and the dog was snarling at my dogs, and that's why my dogs turned around and we turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was scary. I got my dogs off to the sidewalk, and I said, I didn't hear you. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I think the kid was just clueless. And I said,
sure.
Didn't come up close like that. That could start a fight.
Yeah, absolutely. People don't really understand a lot of this, and they're not thinking about it at the time. The other thing is, too, I don't know how old the person was that was walking the dog that you're mentioning, but sometimes I'll go to a client's home, and, you know, they'll tell me that their children walk the dog, and it scares me if that child is like 7 or 8 years old, and the parents not, you know, they're giving that child the responsibility of walking the dog by themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the first question that I'll ask. Would your child know how to react if he was faced with a situation with a strange dog or loose dog that might come up and not have the best intentions in that dog's mind? And it kind of makes them more alert, like, hey, maybe, you know, I wasn't thinking about that before. Maybe I shouldn't give my child that kind of responsibility.
Well, so not even that. You know, if the dog gets excited and, you know, sees a squirrel or something, if they have big dogs, you can get pulled over. I have Siberian Huskies, and, you know, when that kid did that, he was like 12, 15 or something,
mm-hmm.
I was scared I was going to be pulled over. And I'm not, like, Twiggy or anything, but I'm not, you know, that late at the circus. I almost got pulled over because it scared my dogs, and they started kind of jumping around, and, you know, I got them calmed down, but... You know, there's a lot of different things. I almost feel like people that are going to get dogs need to go through a pre-ownership thing, right?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if that was a requirement? I mean, really, we have, you know, an animal that we're walking, and so I think that it should be a requirement that dogs should go through at least a basic obedience class with their owners. I think it really should be. I think within 6 months of getting a dog, they should pass a law. Shame I'm not in politics.
Yeah, there you go. Your next job.
My next job in my next life. Oh, my word. There's so much that has to be done. I'm thinking
a lot of the shelters out here, they do that. They require, I think people have to put a deposit down, and they have to go and take a class. At least for a while, the Humane Society of Silicon Valley was doing that. And when I was teaching classes up in San Jose, I would occasionally get people from who adopted from there, and they'd say, oh, do you give out a certificate? I said, yes, I do. And they said, oh, good, because we have a $150 deposit that we'll get back.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's really a great idea. I do work. I have been doing some work for New Jersey Boxer Rescue, and one of their requirements is that the dog that they adopt from them must go through at least one obedience class within the first, I guess, 3 months or 6 months of adopting the dog. And I think that that's excellent and really very responsible for them to do that.
Well, I also, as you guessed, I'm in northern breeds. Some of the northern breeders I know, both Samoyeds and Siberian Huskies, and I'm guessing probably some of the Malamutes too, also require that. If someone buys a puppy from them, they require the dog to go through obedience and show proof of it.
Right. Right. You know, it's interesting, and I certainly, we don't have time to go into this. I had spoken with a police officer a couple of days ago who just happened to be visiting a client of mine when I arrived there to train their dog. He is somebody who very often has to go into the home of a suspected drug dealer. And a lot of times there's dogs in those homes. And I don't know about in California, but sometimes we hear on the news about dogs being shot in the home, and everybody gets up in arms. And I have always felt badly if a dog gets shot in a situation like that. But when he explained to me what happens, you know, it's not just that they're shooting at any dog that they see, but their first priority is keeping themselves safe. If they see a dog that's going to charge at them, you know, they don't have all that much choice. So, you know, but sometimes, you know, they make mistakes, and sometimes they react, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction. You know, they see a dog, and they may hear the dog barking, and they're so tense at the time that they wind up shooting the dog. And when I heard that, I do understand, you know. I mean, you're trying to save your own life, too.
And I don't think, at least out here, I think most officers try to be discriminate about it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if the dog looks benign, they don't do anything. But, again, out here, too, a lot of the drug dealers have partially trained pit bulls. And,
correct.
Like, you know,
that's what he has to face every day.
Breed, you know, another
bad
rap there. But, you know, they kind of have no choice, like you say.
Sure. Nanette, I want to thank you very much for visiting with us today. It's been a very interesting half hour.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thanks for letting me in the doghouse. I guess with good behavior, I get out, right?
Only if you want to. Actually, I was going to ask you if you would like to come visit us again, and maybe we can talk about another favorite subject that you may have. You're a dog behavior obedience trainer, and you do a lot of the same things that I do, so maybe we can have another discussion one day.
I'd love to.
Thank you very much, darling, and I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in this morning. I hope you were able to hear the entire program, and I hope that it will help you. God forbid, if you're ever faced with having to deal with a loose dog or one that is running after you with not the best intentions in mind. So just try to think rationally. I hope you tune in again next week when I promise we'll have another interesting discussion about a topic that concerns our pet dogs. Have a great week, everybody.